Here we go. Yes, you are. The John Curley, Sherry Elliker show. You write to us at MyNorthWest.com, although Andrew says nobody does. Get that, Jacob, now that you're in management.
Well, sorry, I was distracted.
There's a drop. also, come on in. Oh, I got to talk to Aaron. We got to talk to Aaron about if I want to place a bet. Do you know a good bookie? Maybe somebody that might know a Japanese baseball player. Somebody that would...
I don't personally know any bookies.
Can you talk to us about that at 5 o'clock?
Sure.
I think that's a huge story.
Yeah,
I tried to get Rye on it, but
yeah,
Rye's,
yeah.
Okay,
I
good.
Let's
do that. Yeah. Text as well. Come on in through the Muggleton Casino Resort. Text line 1-888-973-5476. And who knows? You could give one interesting thing about yourself. You might find yourself playing for a whole box of Bite Me Cookies. It's Know It All Quiz. Dive it in. Yeah. Oh, boy. So, Hunter Biden's ex-business partner, who testified a big testimony just a couple of days before the election, and was basically ignored, except by Fox and a few people on the right, Bubba Linsky, and he said, look, Joe Biden knew about all of it. We had deals. Yes, by 10% for the big guy. He was then deposed, and behind closed doors, they brought him back in again as they're moving along through trying to figure out if they're going to do any kind of impeachment on Joe Biden. So he was testifying. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago or something? Right.
Yeah. Yep. It was. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That he and AOC got into a little bit of a shouting match.
Yeah. Listen, AOC. I've said this when he says when Tom and I were doing the show, put 40 pounds on her and, you know, perm her hair or something, and nobody would pay any attention to her. But she's very attractive. She's a bartender in New York City, and then somebody finds her, gets her, and runs her. She's got people that tell her what to say. I've seen her interviewed. She's not very bright, but it doesn't matter. They have the questions lined up for her, and they know what Bobulinski's going to say. Basically, these are the crimes that he's committed, and, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, and, you know, roles in engagement in order to be able to move forward with impeachment of the president of the United States. So Bobulinski goes in there because they already knew what he's going to say. So he's in there. So AOC gets a chance to question him. And everybody's probably heard this one already before, but here we go.
Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple.
That my staff has written.
Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business
deal. Did you
deal,
witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes.
Everybody knows if you're a good attorney or you're on staff and these guys are going to be asking these questions, you never ask a question that you don't know the answer for. So she knows RICO. She knows that he's going to say RICO at some point. So she's loaded up. She get that one in the chamber. Here we go.
RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption.
Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
It's a category of crimes that you're then charged
you
under.
You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges. Yeah. Sir, please
name. Want me to name the exact statute,
sir,
under RICO?
Yes.
By the way, they're bringing him up on RICO. Trump's being got up on RICO charges. Yeah, so then the problem is, you know, what is she going to say next? Because she doesn't know. Then they tear her apart on Twitter. It doesn't really matter. I haven't seen anywhere on the news. And then Jim Jordan wanted to ask about who's the big guy. Remember, 10% for the big guy. So he's got 40 and 60 or 40, 30, whatever it was. So,
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy? Are you sure about that? Because when
Jordan, Joe Biden.
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Because when Hunter Biden did his deposition under oath, he said, I don't know who it is, even though he was copied on an email that said H will hold 10% for the big guy. You sure it's the big guy is Joe Biden?
1,000%. And there's other text messages that back that up, that the brave whistleblowers Shapley and Ziegler have produced not from my phones, not from my BlackBerry that I took screenshots from. They took them from subpoenas directly from Apple's iCloud that back up the fact that Hunter knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
The big guy is the brand. The big guy is the Lyft. The big guy is the one who showed up at golf outings, who did took phone calls and meetings and lunches and dinners with Hunter Biden and his business associates. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, this thing stinks. Bubba Linsky's final closing statements. Here you go.
I mean, my biggest appeal to everyone in this room is I wish you would spend the time focusing on the fact that the Chinese Communist Party infiltrated the White House of the United States of America through the Biden family. I don't say that lightly. It's not a joke. I was willing to die for this country, as was my father and both my grandfathers and my brother. This is serious, serious stuff. We should be asking how that happened. Take the Biden name and the Biden family completely out of it. How did the Chinese Communist Party infiltrate the White House of the United States of America? Let's start there. Focus on those facts, what they did, how they did it, why they used money, why they used private enterprises instead of military stuff and other stuff. That is huge to our national security.
I also think my crazy tin hat thing is, I think it also, there's the weird part of it is they own a lot of our debt. We need them and they need us. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Yes, they're trying to get us. They want to topple us eventually, but they do own our debt and we do need to trade with them. And most of the stuff we buy is from China. For all the people that are really into the whole green religion, you know, you really want to shut stuff down, have Americans stop buying things that are made over in China where they're just pumping out all the coal into the air. So, you know, that there's that. Plus, also, we created that virus. We gave them $5 million. They did all of that research. We know that. It was made in Wuhan. And I think part of it is like, listen, we're not going to, you don't investigate. We're not going to say anything. We won't say anything. You don't say anything. Everybody's equally, hands are just as dirty. So whether it's the Wuhan virus or whether it's stuff that was happening between Biden and China or China and anything else that's involved in this sort of, it's just the whole thing's just a giant mess, just a giant mess. And then this case, new whistleblower came out yesterday and found out that the CIA contacted the IRS and said, don't ask any questions of Hunter Biden's sugar bear, the guy that's given Hunter Biden like a $6 million loan. This is the guy that's in L.A. that gave him like $1 million to pay for the back taxes, then gave him another $5 million, pays for his house. You know, anything Hunter Biden needs, this guy who met with Hunter Biden and the president back in 2019, when the IRS was going to go talk to him and find out, where's the money coming from? Where are you giving it? For what reason? Is it a campaign donation? How are you going to get paid back on it? The CIA stepped in, this is according to whistleblower, and said, the CIA said to the IRS, don't ask the guy any questions. Well, why is the CIA involved? And the whole thing's just a stink bomb. But that came out. Thank God some of these whistleblowers are stepping forward and trying to at least shed some light on this stuff. Now the CIA is like, yeah, we're not going to talk about it. Then why don't you talk about it? Why does the CIA go to the IRS and say, don't ask any questions of this man who barely knows Hunter Biden, who's giving Hunter Biden millions of dollars? For what reason? Again, why is the CIA involved?
Well, the House Oversight Committee is asking the CIA for the documents related to this and who said what, because they want to know who was told you can't interview this guy. His name is Kevin Morris.
Yeah.
He's given him $6.5 million of what he calls forgivable loans, $190,000 for taxes. He's still paying most of his legal bills. Who is this
guy?
Why?
I mean, they're such good friends.
Yeah.
Morris is such a good friend of his. I think he's a Hollywood producer or he's somehow involved in entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Hunter's that great of a guy. Oh, you don't have to pay me back. Here's $2 million. What else do you need? It's just.
Yeah.
And when the CIA wants to dig in because they're going to try to get him with whatever hasn't expired, nope. No, you're not allowed to ask Morris any questions.
Why are they protecting him? I mean, I know they're protecting ultimately the president because they don't want this to go back to him. But I mean, Kevin Morris is just a regular guy and he's not going to get in any trouble, but they just want to find out why are you being an ATM for Hunter Biden? What is that
relationship?
Not a lot
to ask. Not a lot to ask. No questions. The whole thing stinks. You know, I wonder what the turnout is going to be for this election. I just wonder how many people are going to get to the point like, pox on both your houses. I hate you. I hate you more. I hate him even less. Right? It's like drinking a cup of, you can have a cup of vomit or a cup of diarrhea. We got corn in both. It's like, which one you want? Seriously, people like it. I don't want to be involved. I mean, how many people, when it comes around to that, they're like, ugh. Because as more and more of this stuff comes out, people just tune away from it. They just don't want to be in, just the whole thing just reeks. So then you have a low turnout. Low turnout, bad news. You have low turnout, you're really only getting the hardcore folks. If you isolate and alienate a lot, you know, that's the reason they start running so many negative ads. When they turn negative, what they're trying to do is suppress the turnout. Trying to get you to that point where you're like, ugh, I don't even want to hear another thing. I don't even care if I like that guy and I hate that guy. I'm not even going to be involved. That's what negative ads do. They suppress the turnout. And if you do that, you got yourself some big problems because you can get just a lot of hard right and a lot of hard left and nobody in the middle that's kind of trying to even out the whole thing. And that's part of the stink of the whole thing. Let's see. Oh, Inslee. Inslee, this is an interesting bill. This is the, it was 2331, which basically said that the schools have to teach CRT, DEI. They've got to teach history about LGBTQ. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they want the schools to teach. And by the way, the school board can't overrule it. And if Chris Rakedal, who's the superintendent, if he feels as if they're not teaching this stuff, if the school doesn't teach it, then they're going to pull the money back. And I say, good. Great. I love this idea. I think it's great that they're going to do this. And that Inslee put it in there, and they're going to push it through. This is great news. I'll tell you why.
A new state law in Washington is mandating a whole new lesson plan for public school students that includes the history of underrepresented groups, including LGBTQ.
I don't believe that's the state's responsibility.
It really flew under the radar for many parents, using words like diversity, equity, and inclusion, but not specifically sexual orientation.
When you break down, our main reason for being opposed to it is more or less bringing the sexualization of children up at a very young age.
I think that this is based off of a stereotype. Acknowledging the existence of LGBT people does not inherently sexualize anybody, doesn't promote sexual behavior.
What? What does that mean?
What she's saying is that just because you're talking about the fact that this person was significant in LGBTQ history, it doesn't
lesbian,
come into
gay,
it.
Bisexual, right. Trans, and queer.
Right.
So
but
each one of these categories, if you just boil it down, it's who do you like to kiss or don't kiss, right? How do you identify when it comes to who you're attracted to? I've got a lot of friends that are gay. That's one small part of it, that they're gay, but it has nothing to do with who they are as a person. I close my eyes, I think about Bill and Glenn or anybody else that I know. I don't care. That doesn't mean anything. I like these guys as a person. I love how funny Bill is. I love how Glenn is. I love, you know, Mickey and I are having a great... I don't care who you're attracted to, who you are as a person. But if you lead everything with genitalia, so then they want to talk about, like, what they've done for history... And they said this is going to improve, like, turnout for students.
The new lessons are to be age-appropriate, developed by June of 2025. The committees creating the curricula can include parents, but parents must make up less than 50% of the members on the committee.
Oh,
this
good.
Bill forcing curriculum selection that would praise and highlight gay pride activists or gender-confused individuals will only drive more parents away as our public education system seeks to promote agendas over public education.
And that's what I'm happy about. So, according to KUOW, you ready for this? Here's how much private and homeschooling in Washington has jumped since the pandemic. They do this whole article and they never point to any of this. They said, oh, it's, you know, they never actually point the real problem. 43% increase. AP has found that homeschooling has jumped 43% in the Evergreen State. And when it comes to students leaving the public school and going to private school, we are one of the top. Tennessee and Rhode Island, but Washington is a 26% increase of parents pulling their kids out of school. And it's only going to get that much higher. So good. Public schools will collapse under the weight of this DEI crap. and parents will say, I'm taking and sending my kids somewhere else. They'll go to private schools. They'll go homeschooling, charter schools. The reason Tennessee and Rhode Island are higher is because they now have laws that actually give choices to parents. Washington's still holding the giant wall that's blocking parents from being able to have true choice, but they're finding it on their own by going to private schools. Bellevue Christian, doing well. Providence Christian School doing really well. I think their enrollment is from 100, and a couple of years ago it's up to over 370 or something. So this is great. I love this. Push all of this crap onto the people. The saddest thing are the parents that have no choice and they have to have their kids in those schools. But they will leave as they're leaving now. 26% increase of pulling from public schools. And then when the kids go, the enrollment drops, the money goes away, then they start closing some of these schools. Only 50% of the people that are allowed to determine what their kids are taught can be parents on the committee.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And I wonder who the other 50% are. What is that comprised of?
Look, the select people that are allowed to be able to rule on this, and the fact that the local school boards can't say anything about it, and if they do, then they get overruled, and then the money doesn't go to the schools. A whole list of great, great private schools you could send your kids to, and you could ask for scholarships. Providence Christian, I highly recommend them. They've got scholarships for kids. Great school. They're building a brand new school. Go over there. That is comforting, Sherry. Thank you. All righty. I mentioned Buc-ee's yet. Did I talk about Buc-ee's? I do want to talk about Buc-ee's. I really do.
Please, go right ahead.
10 minutes, please, Andrew.
On the clock.
10 minutes. Oh, management doesn't realize what's going on around here.
Clearly not.
Welcome to the show, Jacob. What do you do in there, by the way? Do you go to Buc-ee's? I'm in the middle of a Buc-ee's spot. Buc-ee's Auto Service Centers. 60 locations, been around for 53 years. Thank you, Buc-ee's. No, honestly, Buc-ee's, thanks for paying Jacob's salary for whatever it is you do in that room. What are you doing there? I see you in there.
I'm scared to... Is it over?
Yet? It's over. Go ahead. Sorry.
Be careful.
No, it is, Sherry.
Don't fall for it.
No,
it's over.
Over.
Do this every day. I'm telling you, it's never over. It's over when...
Okay. Graham died alone.
All right, here we go. Okay, what do you do in that room?
I do meet with people, and honestly, I kind of wait for people to bring me their problems. So sometimes, if I'm not doing...
You don't look healthy. Seriously, I will say, you've aged a lot.
There's no sun or windows in the office that they've given me.
It's more of a glorified closet.
Yeah. I will say it's the same shot, size and shape as Andrew's quote-unquote office.
Thanks, Jake.
I'm sorry.
I think his is bigger.
Yeah, honestly, it might be. He also put a lamp in there, which makes it seem more like a...
Office.
A home.
More cozy.
It does.
Do you miss us at all?
Absolutely. Well, yes.
What? And do who? By the way, who listens to this damn show?
In
management, do they talk about it? Like Sherry and I always struggle. Like I can't believe we got away with that, and we realized no,
nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody's listening.
But like Andrew plays stuff, I'm like, God, too many fart sounds. And he's like, who cares?
It's like you
upstairs. What floor is management on? 4.
I've not been. If there's a fourth floor, I haven't been up there. Okay. They haven't promoted me that far.
Okay.
I think they listen, but not in. They're always missing the segments they should be hearing. If you know what I mean.
This means no. Just say it.
All right. Good. Just checking. Buc-ee's Auto Service Centers.
I knew it.
You could smell a spot, Sherry. I'm like, you didn't like this story either. How to fix your marriage in 16 hours. You said this sounded like some sort of hostage taking.
It's not that. It's just that I don't have a lot of patience with stuff. And I think that these things require a lot of work. And granted, a marriage is a living thing. You have to work at it every single day, all the time. And if you hit a point in your marriage where it's not going so well, seeking outside help is a great thing to do. However, regular therapy, marriage counseling is it always effective for people? Because as they point out in this article, it lacks continuity. You may be in an argument and on the way to the therapist's office, and that dominates the therapy session, or things just don't really move along. It becomes like the argument of the day, or last week he didn't unload the dishwasher, you know, so there's a lot of that. This, though, is 16 hours of highly structured work over 2 days. It's called high impact therapy. And it begins where each person in the couple has to take 5 questionnaires. And these are in-depth questionnaires about yourself, how you feel about your partner, all of that.
Uh-huh.
And then from 9 to 5, you know, you go in there and they go to step 1, which is all about the infatuation that you felt for one another at one point, how the relationship started. Step 2 is what your disappointments are. You know, you're kind of giving this whole history of your relationship, the evolution of it, and where you, how you've gotten to where you are.
Okay. And it's so intense. I guess what they're trying to do is you're completely immersed in this and you're just breaking things down. You don't have time to go home and ruminate and get other problems. You're just getting in there and just ripping it apart and then trying to adjust the stuff where it's going wrong. And it costs anywhere between $7,000 and $14,000 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the person's sitting there going, look, we should give this a shot because divorce is going to cost us a lot more than that. So let's see if we can fix this thing. And you can't put a price on love and, you know, can we fix this thing? The Gottman Institute, which is located here, they say that they are able within, like, I don't know, 80% or something, be able to tell you whether or not that relationship can work. They say even by looking at body language, how you fight, how you support one another. And one of the tests that they did, they said, this is a sign of a marriage that's going to go nowhere. The guy comes home, or the woman comes home, and says, oh my God, what a day I had at work. The boss, you know, the guy that's got the little closet, we used to store all the copier paper in there. Well, he's got a closet now. He is on, it just, I can't, you know, just, it's awful. I'm just, I don't know if I'm going to get that report done. I think they're going to fire me. And if the husband goes, oh, you think you had a bad day? Let me tell you something. You know, I go outside to get the lawnmower started. There's no oil in it, so I think I burned up the engine. He said that marriage is doomed, according to the Gottman Institute. They said if the one person doesn't hear the other person, is not there to support the other person, just be a, you know, an open ear, just to listen and just caring and support, well, you know, they said that is the end. These people are not hearing one another. No base emotional support for each other. And then they watch to see how they fight, what they do when they fight. How do they fight? Do they bring up old things and smash those things forward? It's really hard. And then this idea of tearing it all apart, I don't know if it actually works in 60. Does it show you? Do they have success of people doing really well?
It's really not been around long enough for it to really have a huge track record. But anecdotally, people are saying it. Now, it might very well be that because they spent between $7,000 and $15,000, they better make sure it's working.
Yeah.
So there might be some psychological investment as well. She says there's something called a developmental model, and this is a conflict that almost everybody has. It's a conflict between the desire for autonomy and the desire for connection.
Uh-huh.
So that you are two separate people and you have different lives, you know, on your own.
Yep.
But you have a connection with each other as a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to achieve for some people because either one's needy or the other one's, you know, too independent, or there's all kinds of things that can go wrong in that scenario.
Yeah. There's a great book called Mating in Captivity. And the woman does wonderful TED Talks. She's Belgian, and she explains one of the main push of the relationship problems. She says you cannot desire what you already have. And she says the space, what happens is people meet one another, and then they immediately want to tell each other about everything. And then when I was in second grade, this happened. I got a bee sting. I was allergic. I got in the hospital, and I came home, and then my bike got stolen. And then I met this guy, and then the guy goes, oh, I did this and did this and did this. And they want to quickly just get as close as they can possibly get, and they share everything. Oh, just I'm growing together with you. You're my better half, right? She said as soon as you do that, as soon as there's no space between the two people, she says that is actually the opposite of intimacy. You want that space where the person doesn't know everything. It's not that you're hiding, but the person is a whole individual unto themselves, the other person as well. So there's that space between the two of you, and that's the space that you come, you sort of, you bridge the gap, but you go back. That's that, the garden song that I helped write and that you made fun of, but...
I didn't make fun of it. I think that was one that we maybe had talked about before. I don't remember, but it is a beautiful song. And you're right. That is the goal, is for people to have independence, but at the same time, when necessary, they're a unit. They're a team.
Yeah.
It's marriage is hard. It's no doubt about it. It can be difficult.
I went in a death scroll on Instagram 5.5 hours just flipping through while I was on the plane. And, of course, you get all emotional on your planes. I know why that is. And I came across this old man saying goodbye to his dying wife. Oh, my God.
Oh,
so sweet. He's touching her face. Goodbye, goodbye. She's the guy.
Why would somebody put that on Instagram? It's such a private, personal moment. Why would you do that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, John Lennon.
Right. I know. To manipulate you. And it's just awful. People share too much.
I think the soul of my father has overtaken you, Sherry. Seems like I'm talking to my dad.
Heard it, move on.
I'm surprised you don't say that at some point. No, you're like, where's my dad? I come out of watching Sophie's Choice with my dad.
Here, they got you.
My eyes are all red. My nose is running.
Aww.
What, Dad? Oh, my God. Can you believe? Hey, they got you with the violins. Oh, choose which baby you want. Okay. Whoa. Such horrible.
Fascinating reaction.
Hey, they got you.
Yeah.
They didn't get you, Dad? What are they going to get me? The violin. Oh, I got to choose what kid?
Oh, old man crying about his wife.
There you go. You're my father.
Okay, good.
All right. You owe me for allowance. Sometimes people put on great big events and they fail, and then some people go to jail. Remember that story about the guy that tried to do that great big sort of rave thing, Sherry?
The
whole thing fell apart.
The fire festival.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. That guy went away to prison for a while, but while he was there, he's like, I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. It's coming back again. And people are like, I'll buy tickets to this again. Total complete mess. For the guy that put up the Wonka exhibit, what they did is used AI to create all the photos. It looked amazing from the floor and the walls. It was just this magical world, like you were stepping into the film. You sold a bunch of tickets, and you went in there, and they would have, actors all dressed up as the different Wonka characters. Well, it was a complete just mess, just horrible. And the pictures, they had a folding table there, and had six dirty old beanbag chairs in the corner, and a bowl full of candy, and they had a couple of posters hanging up. It was like an empty warehouse. It was really disappointing. Mm-hmm. And now the creator, Sherry, although you say we shouldn't play this because you understood every third word. Mm-hmm. So apparently he says that his whole life is ruined.
That's right.
Run into my personal life. I have lost my friends. I've lost the love of my life.
Okay, can I say something to this guy?
Yeah.
You did it to yourself. You just when you gave the guy the thumbtacks to put the posters up, you had a pretty good idea that this sucks, right? It wasn't like all of a sudden he had this vision and nobody completed it. It was half-baked to begin with, right?
Well, he blames a couple of other people. He said that he booked too large of a venue. The projection equipment never got delivered.
Oh, yeah. But other than that, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I was made out to be the face of all evil.
Made out to be the face of all evil.
And genuinely, that's really not the case. I was gutted, but I believed that we could push on. I was sick to the pit in my tummy.
He was sick to the pit in his tummy?
Sick to the pit of his tummy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I had a whole host of emotions. I was hoping for an event that would be joyful, happy. Yeah. I wanted people to experience happiness.
Okay. Are we supposed to feel sorry for him?
Yes. He wants you to feel sorry for him.
Do you feel sorry for him?
Well, I feel sorry for anybody who thinks their life got ruined, but no, these were mistakes that, why did he let people in? Why not postpone it?
Like
$44 a ticket. So these people come in, they're like, what is this?
Yeah, here it is.
And they come out and they're like,
self was created and written by myself.
I don't care about him anymore.
One of his explanations is that he's dyslexic. That's why he put
dyslexic.
It
dyslexic. Here we go. I'll see you at the meetings. Cry me a river.
That'll do it.
River.
Or river.
River. River. Cry me a river. River.
Yeah. Yeah. He also lost his wife. Or his soon-to-be wife.
Sherry, when I did wedding. Cry Me the River, that was a joke punch out. I'd say that, and then I'd go to Nate. How long have you been in this business?
No, but there was kind of
this blank. Go into Jacob's office.
No. There was a blank space there.
I'm letting it breathe.
All right.
There's supposed to be a rim shot. Golly.
That's not what threw me off.
Yeah, there we go. Here's Nate.